Mike, Seth, and Paul. The AAF kicked off this weekend. People watched it. The opening weekend, excuse me, the opener drew 2.9 million viewers between 8 and 10 Central Time. During that same time period, the NBA on ABC featuring the Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City Thunder drew 2.524 million. So very good first weekend for the AAF. The big question, can it last? And on top of that, would you watch this thing again?
I don't think that can last. And I think if you think about it, okay, the NBA fans know what they want, and maybe they wanted to watch Oklahoma City, the Rockets. Maybe they wanted to watch their local team. It's not as big a draw on a national level versus the novelty of, hey, I miss football.
Yep.
What's this have in store for me? So people didn't tune in specifically for any of the players or anything like that. I think they were pleased with what they saw. And the reception was very, very good. I personally am very excited about it. I don't anticipate this being more. It would be absurd if this was more popular than the NBA. Yeah. That's not going to happen. But I think it illustrates that this is probably going to be a viable league. And especially these days with the streaming, with social media, with all these different options to profit off of the league, I think they'll make a go of it, and they'll make whatever revenue they need to make. It's just, it's not going to be like your fifth major league sport or something.
Yeah, I don't think the ratings from this weekend can last, but I'm curious to see if they can develop into a legitimate minor league for the NFL. It's always been puzzling to me how professional football, for whatever reason, doesn't really have a minor league. And the way this league is designed, this is more kind of the establishment compared to the XFL. Like Dick Ebersol, who's a longtime producer for NBC, his son is running this league. I'm sure they have a lot of NFL ties. It seems like they want to be eventually folded into the NFL as a minor league. And then I guess it would be something where people can kind of check out in the offseason. To what extent compared to, let's say, college basketball or the NHL is an open question.
The big question, Paul, will be when the XFL starts up next year and...
How does that work, right?
If the XFL is willing to take players who aren't eligible yet for the NFL, I don't think the AAF is ever going to do that because they want to work in conjunction with the NFL. If the XFL says, hey, you know what, Kyler Murray? Let's see. That would be a bad example because he's eligible. Let's say Kyler Murray wasn't eligible for the draft. Like, and he just had this great Heisman Trophy year. You say, hey, we want to go, the kid from Clemson.
If Trevor Lawrence,
you want to keep playing for just your scholarship money and, some adulation, or do you want to come and prove yourself amongst pros and we'll pay you a few $100,000 a year? That's where things get really interesting.
That I would watch.
The big problem, I think, in that front is if the XFL starts actually drawing players away from college football, college football probably start winding up the food chain to the NFL, and the NFL would almost, I think, by nature, put all of their support behind the AAF because they'd want to find a way to make sure that the XFL isn't cutting the pipeline in college football. And also, you know, all the fat people, all the fat cats, they all stay happy in unison together.
But that's still nothing they can do to take away the fact that the XFL is stealing some of those players out of college football.
True.
Like, it would have those guys.
I think they would be more willing to support.
I don't think the NFL is worried about competition from the XFL, but I think college football should worry about competition from the XFL. The AAF isn't going to hurt college football. The XFL could be the beginning of what's happened to college basketball, where your best players maybe. I don't think so because the money's not the same. Like, leaving for the NBA is a whole lot different than leaving for the XFL.
I understand that. I feel, though, that there are people in college football that would talk to people in the NFL that would find a way to somehow try at least to take swipes at the XFL and try to stop it. Also in headlines, the Rockets had a 26-point lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder with a minute 38 to play in the first half Saturday night. They still lost 117-112. What an epic choke job. They were horrible in the third quarter. Paul George had some interesting comments after the game. Listen to the very end of this clip.
This team is competitive. That's what it comes down to. We knew it was another half of basketball left. We had to make some changes. But we knew, you know, this team was going to let us back in.
We knew this team was going to let us back in. Paul George called the Rockets soft.
I object to the... So the use of the word choke when it comes to a game like this.
Why? They were up 26 points.
Because a choke to me implies that someone failed in sports because of the pressure.
They failed. They were up 26.
Well, they failed. There's no doubt. But why would these guys have played in so many games? Why would a Saturday night regular season game be one where they sit down to pressure?
This is the problem with the Rockets is that, look, Oklahoma City, as composed, is a better team than the Rockets without Clint Capela. Like, they're longer, they're more physical, the matchups are better, and what you have with the Rockets is the same thing they've always been over the last several years. They're a team capable of huge runs. In the last four games, they've had leads of 29, 20, 37, and 26. That's just what they do. But sometimes it comes with big scoring runs, and sometimes it comes with big scoring droughts. So when they go cold in the third quarter from the three-point line, and then when Oklahoma City is able to grab rebound after rebound after rebound, that'd be the one part where I like, you know what, Paul? You know why I don't say they choked? Because it's not like the rebounding issues are something new and they just decided to stop. I'm willing to forgive a little bit of the rebounding just because of length and ability, but some of it is just flat out laziness. Like that, some of it is just flat out, do you feel like boxing out? No? Okay, that's cool. Here's another chance at the basket. We'll let you have 14 offensive rebounds. Like, it just, that part of it is frustrating. But it's not a choke. It's more just them being them.
They had 24 minutes to maintain a 26-point lead, and they were not able to do it. Choke, 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 choke. Major baseball news from me, intrepid baseball reporter Paul Gallant. Butchered the pronunciation of that word. Shut up. No one cares. I was at Walgreens, and guess what, guys? I saw Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel confirmed in Houston. Dallas Keuchel confirmed Walgreens guy. Dallas Keuchel confirmed going to sign with the Houston Astros? Question mark?
Do you know what he was buying?
No, I have no idea. I was walking in as he was walking out. Oh, that's Dallas Keuchel.
How does beard look?
It was very beardy.
It was very beardy.
Pictures of all the people would be the one that I'd really be irked about this free agency situation. I'd like to get in and start getting my arm ready and doing it versus randos at some baseball training academy just isn't the same thing as being, doing it in Florida.
You always work out with Tyler Bauer.
That's it. Yeah.
Well,
not once he reports to camp. That's the problem.
I was starting to think for a while, maybe the Astros could bring him back. And that is still an open possibility.
Definitely.
But they signed Wade Miley 2 weeks ago, and it seems like they're formulating the rotation to where, for whatever reason, it's making me think like this possibility, re-signing Keuchel, is not a big one.
But every single day that he's still available, I think also opens the possibility for the Astros to say, okay, we're going to give you a one-year prove-it deal, one last ride with the boys. Can you get it done? Can you
right.
get 2-3?
And everything, you kick the can down the road until... You know, Keuchel's one of these guys that really gets screwed over by the current CBA and the current labor situation in Major League Baseball, where you don't become a free agent until you're at an advanced age, and now nobody's getting a big free agent. I mean, okay. Bryce damn Harper's sitting out there.
You guys make a good point. Paul, you make a good point. The one-year deal is an enticing possibility because for everybody who's associated with Jim Crane and his ownership group, like all those guys, I imagine a one-year deal is enticing because you don't really have to plan anything long-term. It's a one-year deal. You don't have to worry about Verlander last year of his deal, Cole last year of his deal. It would only be 1 year. If you can come to terms on a number, it could make sense.
I want to talk to Lance McCullers about this because he's so clued in on all of this stuff. And the players are not happy with the owners right now. They feel like it's a little bit of light collusion. Like in the TV show Arrested Development, there was a running joke about how one of the main characters might have committed light treason. This feels like light collusion where, they're not agreeing not to pay guys, but we're also kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Not going to be idiots about this anymore. We've got to worry about this luxury tax. So I don't know what it is other than that most ownership groups, I think, are still all about giving out a huge one-year deal on a really good player. So maybe Keuchel just needs to start looking at it this way. Get a huge payday. Get $30 million this year. Be relatively healthy. Maybe get $30 million again next year.
Cougar Hoops are...
Franchise tag yourself.
Cougar Hoops took down the University of Cincinnati. They're 12th ranked. They're now 23-1 after beating 25th ranked Cincy 65-58 yesterday at the Fertitta Center. My main takeaway on this game is that the Fertitta Center is an awesome place to watch a game. That was my first time going. It's a very intimate environment, loud, a lot of whistling going on. I actually still have a headache from the guy behind me who was as good at whistling as the whistle guy from the New Orleans Saints.
I feel like guy was a bad influence. The whistle guy from the New Orleans Saints.
I do
Saints.
Too.
Is this guy, do you think this guy behind you has been whistling his whole life or he saw his chance for glory?
He's pretty damn good. He's had some practice.
Boy, but whistling in a dome is bad enough, and then whistling in the confines of
an incident
center,
whistling within arm's reach of someone is the worst. Because every time he whistled, I would just cringe because I wasn't expecting it to come, and it was infrequent enough. It was infrequent enough where it would be shocking every single time.
You should have worn that, like the air traffic control headgear that they give the little kids at the games and the celebrations after.
There actually was a little kid in front of us that was wearing those.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You should have grabbed, you should have snatched him off the kid.
Swipe him.
What'd you think of the crowd at the U of H game?
I thought it was good. I mean, they were loud.
I watched the game. They seemed pretty into it.
One of our listeners informed us that apparently some of the secondary ticket sites might have jacked up the prices some.
So it was a sellout.
It was a sellout very early, but it might have been harder to get a ticket than it should have been given the free market and whatnot.
So, U of H now 23-1 there at the top of the American Athletic Conference. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Monday, top of the hour. Is there more smoke to the fire of Le'Veon Bell coming to the Houston Texans? We will dive into that. Seth, you believe that Kyler Murray needs to play baseball, but not for the reasons that most people think.
I think that I'm worried about his size, but I don't think, and one of our listeners, I think it was Josh, maybe Josh OTR last week, kept bringing up, okay, well, seriously, Seth, what's the difference between 5'11 and 5'9? You know, and I had some answers for him, but in terms of like, this is the reason that a guy can't play quarterback in the NFL if you're 5'9 versus 5'11. I don't have one for you. Like, the release point's going to be lower. That's harder. It's going to be that much harder to see over the tops of people. But this guy's point was like, okay, if you're 5'10 or 5'11, you simply can't see over your offensive lineman. You have to find lanes. So how much different is it if you're 5'9 like Kyler Murray might be? I see all those points. My biggest issue and my biggest question mark about Kyler Murray would be the fact that he might weigh 180 pounds. And how the hell do you make it as a young quarterback in the league weighing 180 pounds? The best answer I have for that is Doug Flutie. Because Doug Flutie is listed as 181 pounds. And I don't know if he was... He might have been 5'8". I think he was listed as 5'10". I've stood next to Doug Flutie a bunch of
Flutie's
times.
Flutie's a small man.
He's no 5'10". I've known 5'10" people. You, sir, are no 5'10". He was a little guy, but Flutie didn't really make it in the NFL until he'd gone off to Canada and really learned how to play professional football for a few years before he came back here. I think it's different when you're a rookie and you're out there subjected to the pounding of the NFL, even though it's different than it used to be. I have serious reservations about like plunking down a first round draft pick on somebody that's 180 pounds and could be tossed around like a little plaything.
I'm kind of in the middle on this, and the reason why is because I look at Kyler and you just look at him on a football field, on a college football field against Alabama in the semifinal where he played really well, especially later in the game. And you're like, man, these defensive players are so much bigger than he is. And yet at the same time,
he's so much faster than all of them.
He's faster. And I watched Doug Flutie play. Seth, you played against Doug Flutie.
Right.
If Doug Flutie could have actual meaningful success in the NFL 20 years ago, with the way the rules are right now, where it's more advantageous for the quarterback, I cannot in good conscience sit in this seat on Sports Radio 610 and tell you Kyler can't succeed in the NFL.
And this is where the baseball, I don't want to say it's hurting him because we haven't seen what's happened yet. Without the conflict of baseball, then it's a slam dunk. Somebody's going to draft him. But now you have the double whammy of, okay, he's got a lot of cards stacked against him with his height and with his weight. I'm more concerned with his weight than his height at this point. He's got that stacked against him. So even if I draft him and even if he's gung-ho about football, if this kid gets injured in his first year or he gets a taste of football and realizes, oh, wow, okay, I'd rather be playing baseball because I'm 180 damn pounds and I just got my ribs broken or whatever, then he always has that to fall back on. It works against him in a lot of ways. And I just wonder if it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where, like, Kyler Murray would like to play football if he knows he can step directly into the major leagues. Because this is the difference. In baseball, he's going to have to go to the minor leagues. In football, he gets to go directly to the majors,
yes,
even if he's a backup, and he's got a real chance to play within the first couple of years. Real chance to play in the first year, depending on where he goes. He simply doesn't have that in baseball. It's just not the way it generally works. So that's really enticing. But because he has that backup plan, too, teams might not want to give him that chance, specifically because he has the backup plan.
Seth, you have issues with maybe Murray succeeding in the league because of his size, his weight. A texter asks, Watson is awfully slight.
Watson weighs 215 pounds.
It's 215?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it look like it's 215?
Well,
I look at Watson.
Is he 215 or is he heavier than that?
Well, we saw Watson in person 2 weeks ago. Check it out, sportsradio610.com for that full interview. I would say, and I don't think I'm being too naive, I think Watson is clearly above 200 pounds.
I would agree with you there. On Wikipedia, he's listed at 220.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think he's 220.
Yeah, but now it's a taller, it's a stretched out 220.
Yeah,
that becomes the question, too. And part of it simply, if you're a lankier guy compared to if you're a shorter guy, like, are they the same? They might be, like, their body types might be the same. It's just Watson's is strung out over a 6'3" frame, where Kyler Murray's is compressed down into a...
The Mike Meltzer weight expert looking at people expertise says Watson is between 200 and 210.
Oh, no. Why? Why would you say that?
What should I say?
200 and 210?
Yeah.
You should say what he weighs, which is 215 plus. Really?
Yep.
6'3", 200 is skinny, Mike. If you saw 6'3", 200...
Let me expand it. I'll go between 200 and 215. I'll roll with that. I don't think he's 220.
Okay. Well, 215, I would say.
I'm looking at his picture next to me. He's not that much thicker than me.
Yeah.
I'm 175.
And then I guess you could go two ways with that. You could say, well, he hasn't been the healthiest guy since he's been in the NFL. He's had a torn ACL. He's had, he was 221 at the combine, I think.
How concerned are you about Kyler Murray's dad? I know that's a random question, but I was bothered by the fact that in that Dan Patrick disaster from a week and a half ago on Radio Row, that he was looking at his dad multiple times for answers to questions. You're trying to be a franchise quarterback, hypothetically. I don't want my franchise quarterback asking his dad what to say during a radio interview.
Right, because
he's on the headset.
He was very concerned about not tipping his hand as to whether he's going to play baseball or football. The thing that bothered me most about that, too, was that if you're going to play that game and you're going to be coy, then you have the option of not going to do these interviews.
Yes. Clear option.
But also, like, if you are going to go do the interviews, most good quarterbacks are the kind of guys that are going to be super prepared for something like that. Either by preparation or just simply by their natural personality and their ability to handle things under pressure. I hate reading into stuff like that with almost every position except quarterback. Because, like, a defensive line can be a complete social moron, and it doesn't matter. Like, you can have zero social skills, and as long as your teammates don't hate you, and sometimes even if they do, you can still play really well. As a quarterback, it's really hard.
Yes.
Those interpersonal skills are key. You need to be a leader of sorts. You don't have to necessarily be, like, a guy that stands up on a chair and gives speeches leader, but you got to be a leader, and you got to be really adept mentally. He looked like he didn't. And by his answers, he didn't even understand the position he was in.
Yes.
Like, there were ways he could have given non-answers to those questions pretty easily. When Dan Patrick says, are you going to the combine? That's as simple as, well, I'm currently under contract with the Oakland Raiders, but Billy Bean, the GM, or excuse me, Oakland A's, but Billy Bean, the GM, has worked with me, and he wants me to make sure I make the right decision. So that's something I'm in discussion with them about, whether or not I'll attend the combine. There. You haven't divulged anything there.
It's not
that
hard.
The A's don't know. It's so simple. It's so simple. And yet he's sitting there saying, well, I can't say whether I'm going to the combine because then you'd know if I'm going to play football. Like, no, that's not the situation. That is specifically not the situation you're in.
I know it's a radio interview / TV interview, but Kyler did not come across in any way like a franchise quarterback, which did trouble me, I admit.